the CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
It's the new year, which means a fresh start for your business. And a great year starts with making great hires. But posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your jobs on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter, you can jumpstart your hiring in 2017. Post your jobs to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/free trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free trial.
This is the CBS News Weekend Roundup, the week at the White House.
What's next as it fights to pass the GOP's health care bill and its skinny budget?
And American medics saving lives on the front lines of Iraq.
He's taken vacation to come to the war zone.
Plus,
we can hear the rumbling. You can still see the steam coming from the top of this volcano.
Later, I'm Steve Dorsey at the CBS News Washington Bureau. President Trump capped off his week at the White House meeting with German Chancellor Angela Merkel.
Send a good picture back to Germany, please. Make sure.
Chancellor Merkel speaking to reporters through an interpreter, urging a more moderate immigration and refugee policy.
Migration, immigration, integration has to be worked on. Obviously, traffickers have to be stopped, but this has to be done by looking at the refugees as well, giving them opportunities to shape their own lives where they are.
Let's get reaction now from correspondent Stephen Portnoy at the White House. Stephen, thanks for being with me.
You bet, Steve.
Stephen, what do you make of this visit? The two looked uncomfortable at times. How much middle ground do they actually share?
It was interesting, that photo op in the Oval Office where the president said, take a good picture, send it back to Germany, but he didn't shake the chancellor's hand. A lot of reporters wondered why. Even when photographers prompted them to shake hands, they didn't shake hands, and the president seemed to have a very stern look on his face. But at the joint news conference here on Friday, the president said that he's looking forward to a strong working relationship with the German chancellor. He vowed he would have strong support for NATO, but he urged NATO countries, particularly Germany, to pay their fair share, contribute at least 2% of their GDP to the joint North Atlantic Treaty Alliance. It was interesting to hear him talk about his desire for fair and reciprocal trade policies. But I think the major headline from Friday's news conference was the offhand comment the president made turning to his German counterpart and saying the two had something in common, perhaps, and that they were both wiretapped by the previous administration. Reporters laughed at the moment, but it was really striking. The president turned to another world leader and again repeated his claim that the Obama administration wiretapped him, as it was reported that Angela Merkel was the subject of NSA wiretapping during the Obama administration.
And he got no questions about wiretapping from U.S. reporters, right?
He called on two American journalists. Neither one asked about wiretapping. Both German journalists who were called on by Angela Merkel raised the wiretap issue.
How important is this U.S.-German relationship? They're a powerhouse in terms of economic activity in the EU. They also are majorly supportive of our military overseas, especially in Afghanistan. Where do you see this going from here if these two can't really find middle ground?
Well, I think it'll be interesting to watch how this dynamic and this relationship plays out. You know, certainly President Trump talked about the need to strengthen economic ties, bolster the German support of NATO. Angela Merkel herself talked about the effort in Afghanistan. It was interesting that she brought with her to this summit here at the White House the heads of Siemens, the industrial giant, and BMW, two very large German companies that Americans know rather well. The intent was to prove to President Trump just how important direct German investment is in this country.
All right, let's come back home now, Stephen, and talk about this GOP bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. It passed through a third committee this week, one more to go before it makes it to the House floor, according to Speaker Ryan. President Trump met with some conservatives Friday at the White House to try to earn their support. Here's North Carolina Congressman Mark Walker, who chairs the Republican Study Committee.
You're looking at some of the top conservatives in the House. Don't take our word for it. Look at some of the scoring things. Gary Palmer, John Ratcliffe. We stand united today to move this forward for the American people. We're very proud to do so.
Stephen, does this mean an easier path ahead for this bill?
It helps. Every vote counts, and we'll see by the end of this coming week just how successful the president and Republican leaders are in getting this bill through the House of Representatives. Speaker Ryan can only afford to lose 21 votes within his own Republican ranks, and the president huddled with members of the Republican Study Committee, which in the last few years has been a leading conservative thought leader within the Republican caucus. But I'll tell you, it's not the most right word of the right flanks within the Republican ranks. It is towards the end, but not on the far end. What's on the far end is the House Freedom Caucus, and members of that group say they are still opposed to the Obamacare repeal and replacement bill as it has been devised and as it's been passed now by three House committees. You mentioned there's one more to go. It's the final stop. It's the Rules Committee, where all bills go and are often tweaked before they hit the floor. One thing we do know is that the White House and House leaders have been working on what's called a manager's amendment. That is something that would be layered right on top of the bill that's already cleared the three previous committees just before it hits the floor. All the last-minute tweaks that would be aimed at getting this bill through the House of Representatives. And after the Oval Office meeting here at the White House, where the president huddled with members of the Republican Study Committee, we learned from senior Republican aides that they achieved agreement on two tweaks to the Medicaid provisions in the bill aimed at giving states more control over how Medicaid money is spent in the states. It also is designed to slow the overall growth of the Medicaid program over time. Will it be enough for some of the conservatives who are opposed to this? I don't know. Late in the week, we saw a letter written by four Republican governors complaining that this bill shifted too much of the burden of Medicaid onto the states.
All right, before I let you go, I just want to get your take on the Trump administration's budget plan so far that we know about. Big cuts to U.S. soft power, things like foreign aid and diplomacy and public media. Here's what House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi said about it.
I can't see how this budget can survive the light of day.
So, Stephen, how much pushback do you think Democrats and Republicans are going to give to this budget?
A significant amount. One thing to keep in mind, Steve, is that Washington has never really seen a budget quite like this. No president has proposed the kind of drastic cuts to federal agencies that this budget suggests. Now, it's also important to keep in mind it's just a suggestion. The president proposes, the Congress disposes. And this budget did seem to land with kind of a thud on Capitol Hill. You had Democrats and Republicans saying that it's not to be taken seriously. However, it will shape the debate and set the terms of the debate. Ultimately, it'll be up to Congress, the House and Senate Appropriations Committees, to decide how much money should go into each account. But this is the proposal of the president, and it's different from anything Washington's ever seen before, which means that the debate to come may be different, too.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy at the White House. Thanks, Stephen.
You bet, Steve.
Coming up on the weekend roundup, Mount Etna roars.
There was an unexpected explosion here.
And later, being Muslim in Europe and what a new court ruling in the EU means for many workers there.
In a landmark ruling, the European Union's top court decided employers can ban workers from wearing Muslim hijabs or headscarves in the workplace.
That and more on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. For the first time ever, the U.S. government has charged two Russian intelligence FSB officers with hacking. Justice correspondent Jeff Pegues has more.
Prosecutors say FSB officers Dmitry Dukukayev and Igor Sushkin financed and directed the cyber attack and hired one of the world's best-known hackers, Alexei Balan, to do most of the work. From 2014 to 2016, court papers say Balan and his team used computer code to infiltrate Yahoo's database, stealing usernames, emails, and passwords. They used that information to access the accounts of Russian journalists and politicians, as well as U.S. government officials including military and White House personnel. Balan also used 30 million accounts to facilitate a spam scheme that netted him money. In all, 500 million accounts, half of Yahoo's total of 1 billion, were compromised. Acting Assistant Attorney General Mary McCord.
We will not allow individuals, groups, nation states, or a combination of them to compromise the privacy of our citizens, the economic interests of our companies, or the security of our country.
But the hackers were able to go unnoticed because the agents, Dukukayev and Sushkin, may have been familiar with U.S. cyber strategy. Prosecutors say both worked at Center 18, the FBI's Russian contact for cyber investigations. Yeah, so, you know, Robert Katanak is a former federal prosecutor.
They pretend to be collaborating with us to try to do something about the spread of cybercrime in Russia, and come to find out, they're fostering it.
Russian media report one of the officers indicted here in the U.S. was jailed and charged in Russia with treason. Meanwhile, the U.K. denies accusations from the White House it spied on Donald Trump during the election campaign.
Britain's electronic spy agency, GCHQ, has ridiculed claims it carried out wiretapping on the candidate Donald Trump and provided transcripts to President Obama. That charge, made by Fox News commentator Judge Andrew Napolitano, was given credence by White House spokesman Sean Spicer during a press briefing.
Putting the published counts and common sense together, this leads to a lot.
In a statement, GCHQ denounced the claims as utterly ridiculous nonsense, which should be ignored. Larry Miller, CBS News, London.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson wraps up his trip to Asia this weekend. CBS News foreign correspondent Adriana Diaz filed this report Friday.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is on a mission to find a way out of the region's most pressing problem, an increasingly aggressive and capable North Korea. Just last week, North Korea test-fired missiles that landed in the Sea of Japan, rattling Japan, which hosts more than 50,000 U.S. troops.
In the face of this ever-escalating threat, it is clear that a different approach is required.
When asked, he gave no specifics to what that new approach is, but any strategy will need China, the only country with real leverage over Kim Jong-un.
Secretary, how will you get China on the same page as the U.S. to defuse the threat from North Korea?
China is a major source of economic trade and activity with North Korea, so we look to China to fulfill its obligations and fully implement the sanctions called for in the UN resolutions.
On Friday, Tillerson travels to South Korea. The U.S. is currently deploying a controversial missile interception system there known as THAAD, which could be halted by South Korea's next leader. China vehemently objects to THAAD over fears its radar could peer into China. But cohesion is needed between China, the U.S., and South Korea to deal with the North.
North Korea and its people need not fear the United States or their neighbors in the region, who seek only to live in peace with North Korea.
Despite these diplomatic challenges, the secretary defended the White House's proposed 29% State Department budget cut. Adriana Diaz, CBS News, Tokyo.
At least 31 Somali refugees have been killed in a helicopter attack on Yemen's coast. Children are reported among the dead, dozens others injured.
The Somali refugees carrying official UN documents were traveling from Yemen to Sudan because of deteriorating conditions when they were attacked by a helicopter gunship near the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. Coast Guard authorities in the Houthi rebel stronghold of Hodeidah said the gunship, possibly an Apache helicopter, attacked the ship while the refugees were traveling on the Red Sea. Dale Gavlek for CBS News, Amman.
American medics on the front lines in Iraq.
A few miles from the front line, Americans treat critically injured Iraqis.
Tourniquet down here.
This woman was hit by shrapnel from an ISIS mortar. And she's losing blood quickly. They need to stop it to save her life. Kyle Flair is normally a critical care nurse in Santa Barbara, California. He's taken vacation to come to the war zone.
It's scary, and the adrenaline is at its max and its peak, but everything fades away when we get to do what we're trained to do.
They're called New York City Medics, and they've been sending teams to natural disasters for over a decade. But this is the first time they've come to an armed conflict.
Something we have in the States is medication. Here, excuse me.
Yeah, okay, great.
They're on call 24 hours because this war never stops.
Come on, guys.
This time, it's an Iraqi soldier hit in the eye by shrapnel. Another man has serious brain injuries, and there's nothing they can do. Kathy Bakwari, the group's team leader, held his hand as he passed away.
I don't know if he knew I was there or if I was, he knew I was holding his hand or felt anything, but I didn't want him to be alone.
Seeing this war has changed her, she told us.
And I just wish the world really could understand that the way I do now. Yeah.
Holly Williams, CBS News, Mosul.
New data indicates military sexual assaults may be on the rise.
Sexual assaults increased at 2 of the 3 military academies last year. The survey also finds sexual misconduct is on the rise at all 3. The increases come even after the military came up with new programs to prevent assaults and encourage victims to come forward. The report also comes amid a growing scandal involving the posting of photos of female service members on social media, along with obscene comments and threats.
Our Kemi McCormick reporting from the Pentagon. A volcanic explosion from Mount Etna on the coast of Sicily has injured at least 10 people. Our Seth Doan is there.
We can hear the rumbling. You can still see the steam coming from the top of this volcano. There was an unexpected explosion here. Journalists and tourists have been up here on Mount Etna watching this lava flow, which generally moves very slowly. But yesterday there was this freak explosion as this piping hot lava hit snow and caused a surprise explosion, sending tourists, journalists, scientists running for their lives.
Up next, the unusual grand prize, one unique game show is offering.
We'll get you into a nice warm cell
on the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Paying off credit cards can get expensive, and getting a traditional bank loan can be a hassle. Now there's another way to get the money you need at a competitive fixed interest rate. Your loan through Avant could be approved in minutes. Now get a $50 Amazon gift card from Avant when your first installment is made on time. Check your rates risk-free. Go to Avant.com and enter promo code 9090 at checkout. That's www.avant.com, promo code 9090. Loans are made by WebBank. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. A European court has ruled that companies in the EU can ban their employees from wearing Islamic headscarves and other religious symbols. More from correspondent Terry Okita in London.
In a landmark ruling, the European Union's top court decided employers can ban workers from wearing Muslim hijabs or headscarves in the workplace as long as they establish a fair and broad dress code. The judgment says an internal rule of an undertaking which prohibits the visible wearing of any political, philosophical, or religious sign does not constitute direct discrimination. The decision applies to private companies in the 28-nation European Union. The conclusion was based on 2 court cases in Belgium and France where women were fired for wearing headscarves. Human rights advocates say the judgment weakens equality and will encourage hate crimes. Muslim immigration has been a key campaign issue for conservatives across Europe. Tuesday's decision is considered a victory for French presidential candidate Marine Le Pen, who wants to eliminate all religious symbols in the workplace. Terry Okita, CBS News, London.
The Prime Minister of the Netherlands has defeated the leader of an anti-Islam party to win a third term.
Now Brexit.
A victorious Mark Rutte told supporters that after Brexit and Donald Trump, the Dutch had rejected the wrong kind of populism. Reuters downplayed his poor showing, saying Rutte is not rid of him yet. Preliminary talks on forming the new government are expected to begin today. It could take weeks or even months before the country sees a new coalition, but it's likely to be another center-right alliance, meaning Dutch voters, who turned out in record numbers, have once again chosen for continuity. Lauren Comito, CBS News, Amsterdam.
Newly released documents, including internal emails from Monsanto, are sparking more concerns. A chemical called glyphosate in its popular weed killer Roundup may cause cancer. Maria Villarreal has the story.
Hopefully that'll show the world
how reckless Monsanto has been with people's health.
After aggressive chemotherapy, Yolanda Mendoza's cancer is in remission. She's a mother of three and one of hundreds who claim using the weed killer Roundup led to her diagnosis of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
I would strap it on and I would walk around spraying.
A federal court unsealed documents in a mass litigation lawsuit Tuesday, raising new questions not only about Roundup's safety, but also about Monsanto's research practices. Monsanto issued a statement. These allegations are false.
Our biggest issue with Monsanto's position is that they control the science.
Pearl Robertson is a lead attorney in the ongoing lawsuits.
They write articles that are submitted to the EPA. They have control of the lab studies that are used for registration of glyphosate.
Mendoza's battle with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma stole a year and a half of her life. She vows to keep fighting for the sake of her children.
I just want them to know to fight for what they believe is right, just like their mom.
Now, Pearl Robertson and her law firm expect to file between 1,000 and 2,000 more cases against Monsanto in the next several months. But still, with multiple studies coming out with conflicting conclusions about glyphosate, the scientific jury is still out right now about the product's safety.
Maria Villarreal reporting. A flood of ghost calls to the Dallas 911 system may have slowed emergency responses, causing two people to die. More from correspondent Omar Villafranca.
I'm mad. I'm hurt.
Bridget Alex is living through a parent's worst fear. The mother had left her son Brandon at home with a babysitter when the six-month-old fell and stopped breathing.
I would never want no mother, no father to go through the pain that I'm going through right now.
The 40-year-old babysitter was on hold with 911 for more than 30 minutes and never got through to a dispatcher. The city says the 911 system was jammed by what's referred to as ghost calls from T-Mobile users. Calls made to 911 unintentionally and unknown to the caller, and then appear on a dispatcher's screen as hang-ups. By law, dispatchers have to call those numbers back, which bottlenecks the system. Mayor Mike Rawling.
I want the problem solved immediately. If it takes a longer period of time, I want to know why.
T-Mobile says company engineers have been working daily to find a permanent solution to this problem.
A Florida sheriff's department is borrowing a page from a popular game show to catch crooks. Here's correspondent Mark Strassman.
Here in Brevard County, the local sheriff spins the wheel. The wheel of misfortune for fugitives, puts it on Facebook, and waits for tipsters to call and email. For the last 18 months,
here we go.
The studio at the sheriff's office has become must-see viewing in Brevard County, Florida.
You're watching Wheel of Fugitive, our weekly program.
Sheriff Wayne Ivey, the show's Pat Sajak, had the idea.
And we'll get you into a nice, warm cell.
And the personality to host it.
When we put someone up on Wheel of Fugitive, our citizens start sending us messages and contacting us right away.
Ivy spins a wheel with the names and photos of 10 wanted fugitives and highlights an unlucky winner.
He's got no bond.
Dozens of fugitives have been arrested or turned themselves in.
This week we're going to look for Teon Maurice Gay.
Last month, the wheel picked Teon Gay. He was in custody within a day.
The fugitives watch it. It's amazing how many of them, when they're arrested, say, yeah, I saw it, or my family notified me about it. In fact, we've had fugitives that say, yeah, I watch it every week to see if I'm on the wheel. Looks like this week's fugitive is Alicia Lee Pack.
Fugitive Alicia Pack posted on Facebook that she saw herself on the show, but added she was going to the beach, where police tracked her down.
They ended up having to tase her. So we put up on our Facebook page, tan, tased, and arrested, all in the same day.
What about this connects with people?
One, there's a little bit of humor mixed in it. Two, people, at least in our community, and I think in most communities throughout the country, want to be engaged with law enforcement. So it reaches out to them and gives them an opportunity to do it.
Watch as a man commits his crime.
Social media is a new weapon for law enforcement.
Look at me, son. I'm talking to you.
In Louisiana, Captain Clay Higgins, nicknamed the Cajun John Wayne, talked directly to criminals.
We're going to identify you, arrest you, and put you in a small cell. After that, I'm going to have a cheeseburger here.
The YouTube sensation led to multiple arrests.
See which one of these ladies are going to get to spend some time at the Brevard County Jail.
Sheriff Ivy's favorite show was Ladies Night.
Ladies Night.
but critics object that his approach is nothing more than public shaming.
It reinforces the public's bloodlust for seeing people punished. It also reinforces the offender's sense of being rejected and excluded from society.
Is there a public shaming to this?
As I said earlier, if you don't want to be on the wheel of fugitive, don't commit a crime in Brevard County. Don't be a fugitive in Brevard County, because our team's going to come after you. Our community's going to come after you.
Correspondent Mark Strassman reporting from Brevard County, Florida, on a wheel of misfortune. Coming up on the Weekend Roundup, nutritional psychology, prescribing food for thought.
The idea that food plays an essential role in our mental health.
Please follow us on Twitter. We have headlines at CBS Radio News, and I'm at Steve_Dorsey on the CBS News Weekend Roundup. On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. Life after internet fame. For one parent,
Marion Kelly's 4-year-old Swagger has been watched 86 million times. It's turned her father Robert into a global internet sensation.
You know, got to the point where we had to turn off the phones and Facebook and Twitter and all that sort of stuff. Question is, how do democracies respond?
The chaos unfolded Friday during a Skype interview with the BBC.
I think one of your children's just walked in. I mean,
as Professor Kelly tried to keep Marion at bay, in waddled 9-month-old James, followed quickly by his mother, young Ah Kim, in a frantic bid to get the kids out of the shot.
My apologies.
Kelly later explained that Marion had been in a hippity-hoppity mood after celebrating her birthday party.
I was hoping that maybe my daughter might sit down and read a book or something, even for 30 seconds until we could just cut the interview, right? But once my son came in the little roller, then it was sort of, then there was nothing I could do.
Relations with the North may change.
Well, I don't think
the video instantly triggered tributes and copycats. Like the one featuring Press Secretary Sean Spicer, President Trump, Ben Carson, and Kellyanne Conway. And it lit up the late-night shows. Trevor Noah.
Like, this is why I love kids. No matter how seriously you take yourself, kids will mess up your Sure, your dad can say, I'm going on the BBC, but the kids are like, no, we're going on Ellen.
Kelly thought that was the end of his TV career, but it's been the opposite. Today, Kelly politely pleaded to be left in peace, and he's happy his family saga has brought laughter to so many. Charlie Daggett, CBS News, London.
Well, they're scary moments for parents. Now a new study on how often toddlers are sent to an ER for an injury from a nursery-related product. CBS News correspondent Deborah Rodriguez has more.
One child under the age of 3 is treated in the emergency room every 8 minutes in the U.S. You can blame strollers, car seats, cribs.
As parents, we assume the products that are available for our children are safe. Unfortunately, that's not always true.
Tracy Meehan, Center for Injury Research and Policy at Nationwide Children's Hospital.
Most of the injuries happen when kids fall from the products. And about 80% of the injuries are to the head, face, or neck. So these can be pretty serious.
Meehan says manufacturers need to do a better job of alerting moms and dads to problems. Parents need to pay closer attention to recalls. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
It's a scouting ground for some of the world's brightest young minds. And it's got a $250,000 prize. Errol Barnett was impressed.
From the Academy for Medical Science Technology in Hackensack, New Jersey, Indrani Das.
Led on by cheers from her fellow competitors, Adrani Das was awarded first place for her research on treating brain injuries.
Neurons are dying around these supporting cells.
Indrani was one of 40 high school seniors vying for the title.
I started looking at desalination.
This menagerie of young minds.
And so my goal is to kind of streamline this process, see if I could do it, maintain the accuracy.
Must explain their projects in a concise way.
This is like the 2,000 lines of code that I had to write to get the thing working.
And sell it to the judges.
All right, Blake, impress me. What did you find?
I improved on a computer simulation of planet formation.
Wow. Didn't you discover something during your research?
I discovered evidence for a forming planet around a nearby star.
Blake Horde trained for this moment by inspiring even younger scientists.
Right, look, if I'm going to move it over, you're going to see the tail alongside it, right?
While engaging these young kids in the wonders of stars and the planets.
Do you want to be the moon? All right, so come up here.
He's honing in on how to explain his own discoveries.
To be able to condense knowledge into such small anecdotes really has helped me understand my own work better and communicate at the basic level so that I truly do understand what I'm doing.
While Blake is finding new planets, Pratik Nadu is using computer software to find the cure for cancer.
So you turn this physical manifestation of the way DNA is structured into algorithms.
Exactly, and I think that's really powerful because rather than trying to use the experimental biochemical methods in the lab, the computational method with my laptop is so much faster.
Isabella Greco wants to know more about gender bias, so she put together a survey and found this.
People in feminine-associated jobs were more likely to be falsely remembered by a reader as having not achieved as much. And also, people were more likely to have false memories about a feminine-associated job.
So this really exposes gender bias.
Yeah. It also exposes something about the wage gap, potentially.
For over 70 years, the Society for Science and the Public has run the competition with a corporate sponsor, first known as the Westinghouse.
I wanted to win a Westinghouse.
George Yancopoulos was a winner of the Westinghouse in 1976. 13 years later, he went on to be the founding scientist of Regeneron Pharmaceuticals, the competition's sponsor now.
What does it take to inspire a young teenager's mind to get them to be the next generation of scientists?
A realization and a recognition that it is so important and they can get recognized and they can actually be heroes.
Now, one of those heroes is Indrani Das.
I want brain injury to be tackled at a fundamental level. And I mean brain injury by Alzheimer's, neurodegeneration, traumatic brain injury. I want to see all of the people who suffer from these conditions to improve their quality of life.
Foot soldiers for the future of science. Errol Barnett, Washington.
Some 16 million adults struggle with a bout of major depression at least once a year. CBS News medical contributor Dr. Tara Narula spoke with the CBS This Morning team on new research now into how nutritional psychology may help improve your mood.
Well, it's the idea that maybe a psychiatrist should be asking you what was on your dinner plate last night. What did you eat for lunch? The idea that food plays an essential role in our mental health in the same way that we think about it playing a role in cardiovascular disease, in our blood sugar management, in our gastrointestinal health. John LaPook just did Sunday morning. We talked about its effects on cancer. So it's something that we don't often think about. But there has been recent research in this emerging field in the last 5 years that shows that healthier dietary patterns can reduce the risk of things like depression and anxiety.
And what's the connection?
So the brain is a highly metabolic organ. It uses a lot of energy, a lot of nutrients. It's always on. And it depends on fuel, but not just any fuel, like a car. You want to give it expensive, high-quality fuel. That means foods that have the right nutrients, the right vitamins, the right sources of protein, because these form the building blocks for the neurotransmitters in the brain, for the cellular structure of the brain, for the enzymes in the brain.
What are the unexpected things that people might not think about that you think you should
try that? Yeah, that's a mood booster.
There are healthy dietary patterns, for instance, the Mediterranean diet that's been studied and shown to reduce risk of depression. But there's also specific nutrients and vitamins, things like the B vitamins, omega-3s, iron, zinc, folate, magnesium, choline. These are some other things that people can think about. Probiotics, prebiotics. And the idea is that when you eat these foods, essentially many of them can become the basis for the brain chemicals, the neurotransmitters.
CBS News medical contributor Dr. Tara Narula. Up next, gut milk or not? On the CBS News Weekend Roundup.
The CBS News Weekend Roundup after this short break.
Like what you're hearing? Get even more great content from CBS Radio News Podcasts. Listen to TV broadcasts like The Evening News and Face the Nation on demand. Or hear original audio programming like our weekend review show, The Weekend Roundup. You can also hear the story behind the story on Reporter's Notebook or What's Hot on Tech Talk with Larry Magid. Get these podcasts and more from iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play today.
On the CBS News Weekend Roundup, I'm Steve Dorsey. Fewer folks are drinking milk these days, at least from cows. Sales of plant-based milk have reached more than $2 billion as the dairy industry calls on regulators to define what milk really is. One alternative, Ripple, a brand of milk made from yellow peas. Co-founder and CEO Adam Lowry spoke with Charlie Rose and the CBS This Morning team.
So how does it taste?
It tastes great, actually. The thing is,
if it didn't taste great, Adam, would you say, you know, Charlie, it doesn't taste so good. It's an acquired taste.
I tell you, I'm saying, like, what does it taste like?
Yeah. It doesn't taste anything like chicken.
Yeah.
No, actually,
tastes like peas.
Protein is flavorless. All proteins are flavorless. We think of protein-based foods as being really meaty or in the plant-based world like soy. But we use peas because they're really high in protein. And if you get really pure protein, it actually has no flavor. So these products, Ripple, taste a lot more like dairy milk. A glass of milk has 8 grams of protein in it. Mm-hmm. Almond milk, which is the most popular non-dairy milk, only has one. Most people think that nut milks, you know, would have protein because they're from nuts.
And most people think almonds are very good for you.
Right, but almond milk only has 1 gram of protein. Cashew and coconut milk, also popular, they have none, right? So we made Ripple to be dairy-free the way it should be, which is a great source of protein, a lot less sugar, and really creamy and delicious the way that milk should be.
I want to read you what the National Milk Producers Federation said, which supports the Daily Pride Act. They say, quote, the labeling of plant-based alternatives as milk conveys a nutritional equivalency that is not accurate. Why do you need to call it milk? Why don't you call it a different product?
Well, I think the dairy industry is playing defense because they're losing a lot of customers. Mm-hmm. The fact is that no plant-based product is calling itself milk without calling it a plant-based milk or a soy milk. 36% of Americans prefer plant-based milks. So let's define it in a way that everybody can enjoy it, whether you want it out of the udder of a cow or whether you want it straight from the plants.
You got this idea from what? Were you just fed up with milk or you're lactose intolerant?
In a word, I started Ripple for impact. I mean, what gets me out of bed every morning is trying to use business to help people and to help the environment. I started a cleaning products company called Method before I started this business. And I started Ripple because I wanted to create impacts in a really big way. And a lot of mainstream people, not just people lactose intolerant, are trying plant-based products now.
Ripple co-founder and CEO Adam Lowry speaking with CBS This Morning. Our final story, a March Madness one this weekend about UCLA freshman Lonzo Ball, who could be the top NBA draft pick after just 1 year in college. And his talents on the court run in the family. More from correspondent Dana Jacobson.
LeVar, how many hours do you think you guys have spent on this court?
Hours. Let's say, throughout the day, five times 360. You're looking at 15,000.
LeVar Ball built this backyard basketball court with one goal in mind. To turn the three Ball brothers into Ball players. Oldest, Lonzo.
Good pass. Get him out of here.
Middle child, LiAngelo. And the baby, LaMelo.
Run it up.
So was this, hey, let's have a family of basketball players?
I'll tell you how it went down.
Here it goes.
To know who is going to be playing basketball, you got to have the right genes. I had a lot of short cuties, but Tina was tall. Wow. Kaboom. So I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to get three boys.
Tina, did you know this was what you were in
for?
Oh,
that was the plan. He said, Tina, I'm going to have boys. I hope you didn't want girls.
LeVar and Tina Ball met when both played college basketball. And just as LeVar predicted, the couple's basketball genes were passed along to their sons.
There you go. I knew I had a brand once I had all three of them. It's going to be the Big Baller brand.
Go, Big Ballers!
Of course, those big ballers started off small.
And it was kind of contradicting because people was like, look, big ballers and small as they are. But after we finished whooping that tail, they knew who the big ballers were.
Good shot, Zoe.
And soon, they weren't so little.
Well, yeah, this is where the big ballers do their stuff.
The boys trained with their father 7 days a week, even on holidays.
Come on, Mello. Come on, Mello.
That dedication led to success. Last year, all three played together at Chino Hills High School in Southern California. Their on-court chemistry, up-tempo play, and unlimited range electrified packed gymnasiums as they led the school to its first undefeated season and a state championship.
The game is just a lot easier, you know, when you get to play with people you live with. I see them every day.
Deep three from Ball is on target.
This year, as UCLA's starting point guard, Lonzo led the nation in assists and propelled the school to a number three seed in the NCAA tournament.
Attacking the rim, and he lays it in.
40 miles east at Chino Hills, his brothers haven't missed a beat.
Melo, do you miss having all three of you there this year?
No. I mean, I get more shots this year.
You had the 92-point game.
Oh, yes.
LaMelo's 92-point game came just weeks after LiAngelo put up 72 points in an outing. Videos of the brothers now regularly go viral. This one has been viewed more than 500,000 times.
I told people, when my boys finish playing ball over here, as soon as you say Chino Hills, the first thing going to come out their mouth is Ball Brothers. And now it's happening, and they're shocked. I'll just walk around smiling.
LeVar Ball, as you might have noticed, doesn't exactly hold back when it comes to talking up his boys.
You know, he's better than Steph Curry in the NBA.
Those comments to TMZ Sports, comparing Lonzo to NBA MVP Steph Curry, are just one of several headline-grabbing statements LeVar's made recently, leading to criticism from some sports writers and analysts.
People have said, you need to just be quiet and let your kids play ball.
Well, they actually say
you
need to
shut up. I'm going
to
tell you what two words don't mean. They don't mix. LeVar Ball and shut up. You can forget that.
He's been talking like that since I've been born, like I said.
Now, let me tell you something. They'd be shocked if I didn't say nothing.
I laugh because whoever they try to compare my boys to, he's going to say they're better than them. It doesn't matter who it is. That's what he believes. The bar is high, and that's fine with me.
That high bar leads to competition in almost everything this tight-knit family does.
Who's winning?
Us.
Who do you think winning?
Us.
It's also created an unmistakable bond between the boys and their parents. Whether or not these three basketball phenoms all end up playing in the NBA, as their father has predicted,
game time.
You know there is one place you will always find them playing ball.
There we go.
Let me tell you guys, the backyard is always open. Whenever you want to test your dad, come on through.
Don't kill your dad, please. Let's
come on
just,
through.
Let's
I'm sitting there waiting.
All right, we're going to get him right.
Tell me anytime, Joe. Anytime.
Dana Jacobson meeting the talented Ball Brothers. We appreciate you listening to the Weekend Roundup. Please keep in mind you can do a search online to find past episodes. Search for CBS News Weekend Roundup. The Weekend Roundup is produced at the CBS News Washington Bureau. Have a great week. I'm Steve Dorsey, CBS News.